SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching this, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Ah, back in better than ever. It's the best hour of your day officially underway. It's Moneyline.
Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Topics abound. Fun to be had. It's Kev. It's Donnie. It's an hour. It's random meetings in Montana between quarterbacks and team owners. We're taking a look at some new rule changes possibly coming to the NFL the way things are playing out. T. Higgins, will he be signed? We don't know. But the one thing we do know is we're going to be here for the next hour and we're ready to go. Locked and loaded.
Reporter on reporter beef.
Yeah.
Confrontations.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
At the Starbucks.
I
mean,
I heard this was playing in the Starbucks.
Somebody needed to just grab the aux and get busy with it.
How did that go down, by the way? You're walking by a coffee shop, you look in, about to get in there and get after this guy, and hey man, let me talk to you. No, I'm not talking to you. Let me call the NFL security.
Yeah, let's do a mini catch up for the folk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jordan Schultz, NFL reporter.
Mm-hmm.
He would be respectfully considered a tier below Rappaport.
Yes,
well, I actually think you could, again, respectfully say is a tier below Adam Schefter. So, but nevertheless, Jordan Schultz breaks news all the time. Tweeted out that Stafford and Brady had a meeting in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And Rappaport and the NFL Network crew went like, the internet rumors around this Montana meeting are not true. They both happen to be skiing at Montana, ran into each other, a couple of pleasantries, nothing to see here. And Schultz then ran into Rappaport at a Starbucks and basically said, you do that again, we're going to have some problems.
Yep.
All right. And Rappaport then, I guess, was like, security! Kind of when you cut the line. Now, I don't know, Don, you know, I don't know if we're taking sides here.
Okay.
But it feels unlikely that Montana is home to the hottest skiing resort in all of America and countless NFL relevant parties are there. So Stafford running into Brady was a coincidence. He likely also ran into Joe Shane and Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, man. It feels to me, I don't know about you, because Jordan Schultz is not, again, respectfully, an Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter level guy. He went, oh, this is true. I can report this. And then Rappaport was put on scramble duty to cover this up, be like, nothing here whatsoever. Because I'm not sure how much I'm buying Stafford and Brady ran into each other randomly at a Montana ski resort.
Correct. And then you have a meeting at Starbucks and went like this, hey man, get up. You got to get up. What are you talking? You know what I mean? Like, that's how it went down in Starbucks, getting people all bent out of shape because nothing goes down at the combine. So the reporters actually have to shift it up over there and make some waves. But there's no way that was not planned either way by both sides, because I understand, like, I don't care how rich you are, what popular it is. The fact that a quarterback is going to be on the market and certain players and teams and owners are just happen to be in that one spot, it usually goes like this. You remember in Cabo San Lucas, you know, down in Mexico, it's like, man, I'm having dinner down here. Yeah, Matthew Stafford at the next table. And within an hour, he was traded to the Los Angeles Rams. Like, stop the madness. Like, we understand exactly how this goes down. You have a couple teams that you're interested in. And the week before time, they say, you know what, man? I'm going up to Montana. It's going to be fire, the parties. We're going to get some skin. It's all season. why don't you come up there and we'll talk about and have some fun and do some things up there? That's how those things go down. They didn't just walk into each other, which I try to explain it to Ben. It's like, you know, it wasn't like they were in Los Angeles. Like, hey, Brady's there because one of his companies is opening a new product. And Stafford's like, yeah, I live down the street. I'll come by and say hello. Like, oh, they ran into each other on an LA street. Makes some sense. Montana in the offseason, randomly, when you want me to be your quarterback, that ain't so random.
Especially when I refuse to believe either one of them skis. Like, no way they're
contracts
risking
in the NFL. Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, Adam Schefter just went up a notch in my book. Unbelievable A-plus tweet, Don. Did you see this bad boy?
Which one? What was it?
I just tagged you. No. It just happened. I just tagged you in a tweet.
Wow.
Look what Schefter just bangs out.
Yeah.
Tweets, Indianapolis - head on a swivel, photo of a Starbucks. Way he just went up like a number of notches in my book now.
Like McAfee's fan really base now that. Likes Adam Schefter all of a sudden. Like they just, they, within the last couple of minutes, they just flipped over and like, you know what? Can't 100%. Go with Rappaport anyway. It's got to be Schefter. He's the guy right here. Like that's the type of stuff that we needed to see and could have reported on at the Super Bowl. Were there any beefs at the Super Bowl, by the way? We didn't catch any. Like you and Steve Smith beefing. Now it makes some sense, you know, a couple of years later. Not a nice guy, apparently.
Karma. So. I mean, we see it play out. Yeah, clearly not. I mean, listen, no, you know, okay, Dubs, good judge of character. But, man, so I'm actually, it's kind of funny because me feeling like Stafford going to the Raiders is obviously now, like, I'm excited at the opportunity to be correct about something ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Because the one thing, Donnie, is you and I, like, this is not a topic that you and I disagree on in an argument way, right? Like, I was like, no, listen, it feels like this is going to happen. And again, your stance, like, nobody here is doing anything that makes sense. And I think that that's all legit. I am now invested in him going to the Raiders. How much has your perception of this kind of shifted the past few, you know, call it 48, 72 hours?
In what respect, though? In what respect?
Like, do you now, if I asked you today, Stafford on the Rams, not on the Rams next seat? Yeah.
He's gone.
Right.
He's gone. Right. Yeah. Because there's two ways that teams can play it out. And I'm still, like, incredibly dumbfounded of how we even got to this point. Like, Jalen Carter doesn't sack Stafford, they might have a Super Bowl victory. Simple as that. I know you can't play it out that way, and the Eagles smashed Washington and beat Kent, but I'm just saying, like, the pressure was on the Eagles where if that play doesn't get made, the odds are, let's just say it wasn't a sack. I still think the Rams actually scored a touchdown. Like, okay, the Eagles got 40 seconds to drive a snowy football field to punch it. Like, that's how close they were. And to now be like, Stafford doesn't like McVay. McVay doesn't like Stafford. And they're actually like, you know what's be awesome? We trade Stafford and get, like, Aaron Rodgers to be our quarterback or Sam Darnold. And I scratch my head. Like, are the numbers so far gone of what they feel his value is to what he provides? Because it's like Brock Purdy on the 49ers fits with the 49ers, right? Now, if he goes on the open market, what would it be? But he works for the 49ers the same way Stafford does. And but Stafford's saying, like, I could be on the cusp of my second Super Bowl possibly over the next 1 to 2 years with LA if things go well too. I'm going to go to tire kicking franchises right now where I have zero shot to end my career on an upside. That's what I'm having a hard time wrap myself around, which, again, makes no sense. But every day that comes out, it's like, we're not hearing from the Rams by going, like, he's not going anywhere. And the fact that the report came in, like, well, we're just going to let him talk to other teams to gauge his price point. That's not normal in the NFL.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And that's why, again, I just felt the Raiders made more sense because I thought their aggressiveness level would be a little bit higher than the Giants, who have the third pick. You know, where the Raiders at six control a lot less in terms of quarterbacks that'll be available. But I guess, I don't know, like, if the Raiders ended up missing out on Stafford, do they spend all that money then on Sam Darnold?
Like, that's what absolutely doesn't make any sense to me at this point. It's like, we have a coup hooked in where Lamar Jackson's coming here and we got him ready. We just got to get rid of Stafford. Like, no, it just doesn't seem right at this point. Best Hour of Your Day, as we said, is underway. It's Moneyline. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fun time last night in the NBA, Kev. I was locked in. Sixers plus 10. Heat the win at home. Some totals kicking butt yesterday. I was enjoying myself. Same thing in college basketball. Put an alt team total parlay together yesterday, which included some sides. Nailed that one right down it. Had fun there. We'll get to some college basketball and NBA in just a second, but I am looking here on Sports Grid on demand right now, where you can watch Kevin and myself live right here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network. Same time we do it every day, 11 a.m. Eastern to 12 p.m. And I also see my guy X-Man out there. He says, can I give a shout out to 5-year-old son Marcel because he made the honor roll? How about that, K-Dub?
Awesome.
Marcel's on the honor roll. This guy's hitting bets in here. Kids are making the honor roll. I mean, this guy lived the perfect life out here. My goodness.
Beautiful. Listen, happiness, getting some action down, but also good things for the family, man. That's what we love to see.
It's a great name, Marcel, by the way. Fantastic.
Yeah. Strong name. Can't argue it.
That's a leadership name right there. Guys on the honor roll, doing big things in the community, handing out free winners in society. And look at that. Raising champions out here. Love to see it here. Love to see it.
Beautiful.
By the way, K-Dub, as we move from greatness with the X-Man over to the NFL, one of my favorite times of the year is time to grade the ownership groups out here to see who's doing what right. And it never, ever, ever surprises me. Like, you see the teams that get the failing grades. It's like, that makes a lot of sense. And the teams I usually zero in on, too, is usually it's, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals I take a look at first. And it's no surprise to me that they got an F minus in treatment of families because they'll skimp on the edges, right? Like, hey, you know what? You probably say to yourself, my son just got called up off the practice squad. He's going to play on Sunday. And the kid goes on the team, hey, man, awesome. Mom and dad, I'm going to get you a couple tickets to come to the game. In most organizations, you put them like, hey, you know what? What do you need four? Gotcha. Where do you want to set them up in the box? Gotcha. Taken care of, no problem. The Bengals be like, yeah, you know, what do you need four tickets? All right, we're going to deduct $662 out of your pay this weekend so your parents can like watch with the tickets. Like, that has a feeling that that actually is what happens with the Bengals because they just want to charge you. They also got an F in food and dining area. But let's just start with the treatment of the families. Always I get a kick out of.
Yeah. Who does this? The NFLPA? And then they put it out?
Yes. The NFLPA, so let's just say there's, I don't know, 55 players on a team. Sometime in like November, December, the active players, whoever's on the roster itself, even practice squatters, rate this franchise on all of these different categories. And it's completely unanimous. You love your team, support them. A's across, like the Atlanta Falcons got nothing but love across the board. A for treatment of families, A for dining, A for dietitian, A plus locker room, A minus training staff, A plus a weight room. Like, hey, if you like it, let the owners know that they're doing something right here. But if they don't, embarrass them to get them to change it. Like, that's how it goes down.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and I know it comes out every year, but I can't tell you that I follow the history of it. But you would almost think to some degree, like a Goodell, if a certain group finishes, like if every year treatment of families for Cincinnati comes in at an F, it's like, all right, I might need to step in here and see what's going on.
An F. Minus, like they made it a point to put them, like there probably is like graded A through F, and the players are just putting in minus.
Yeah, it, honestly, you're that's a team effort, right? That's like a team effort.
Yes,
I saw, and that stuff really matters to these guys. You know, I saw, you know, De'Aaron Fox. I mean, seemingly like hated being a Sacramento King.
Yes,
and people were like, you know, I think he was talking about treatment. You're like, well, his wife was at every game. What are they talking about here? And she quotes with you like, yeah, how do you think we got a hold of those tickets out of pocket every game? And it's like, wow, like he's the franchise player. They couldn't hook him up with, you know, whatever it was. And again, like it looks then bad all of a sudden the other way. Like, I mean, man, like what is like Joe Burrow's dad, like not even allowed in the stadium? Like Jamar Chase's mom can't get anything better than like, you know, the last row in the house. Yes. Like, I'm not sure.
Like baseball teams, you hear it about a lot. Whereas like, you know, the kid is getting his first career start as a pitcher. And every time you go to that or watch that game, By the second inning, they have the player's family like somewhere close to the field. But you know, when we're going to, because it's not like, hey, I'm going to bring you up tomorrow. It's like, okay, we're going to skip your start on Friday. It's like a Tuesday. You're going to start on Saturday. And they usually fly the family in. It's a big deal, and it goes a long way in the organization. But again, I just have a feeling like the Bengals are like, we don't have daycare here. So, and if we do, you'll pay for it. Hey, by the way, is there like a back room where it's like, hey, you get food for the families, like you feed like the national media? Like, nope, they got to pay for everything. They don't get any discounts here. How about parking for the families? Can we get like a voucher? No, $55. You're going to pay that too. But like, as I start out, like, hey, I'm going to start my first career NFL game at inside linebacker. And it's like, sure, you can have as many tickets as you want. We'll just bill it right directly to your actual paycheck here at this point. But other things that I do like, Kevin, like the team travel. The Buffalo Bills, Kevin, an F- in travel, which usually comes down to the planes they're taking. Now, you might see some of the pictures floating around with like the New England Patriots. Like, the plane looks pretty cool. It's painted in Patriots colors. It's Robert Kraft's plane. It has all the Lombardis on the wing. And they give that an F because they go, it's old, it's outdated, it's uncomfortable. And Kevin, they don't even have Wi-Fi on their plane.
Oh, wow. That's
an automatic F minus.
Yeah.
We go on planes all the time. Now, for me, like, you know, you'll a lot of times go on and I have a lot of stuff downloaded through YouTube that I can watch, songs and movies. That's one thing. But the fact that an NFL player can't go on with like a laptop, a tablet, or just his phone and get the internet, like general manager can't get the internet, coaches can't use the internet. How does that make sense?
It's stuff like this, though, that, and I know I'm like bringing it back to the NBA a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're using the Patriots as the example now.
Yes.
I'm telling you, man, eventually we are, you know how like the NFL, Don, like the entire offseason, they keep saying, no, they keep letting random guards you've never heard of seek a trade.
Yes.
I'm telling you, we're going to get a real trade request like within the next 5 years from a megastar quarterback. It's going to happen. Like Burrow's going to ask out of Cincinnati. He's like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm
like,
gone.
I share a locker with three other quarterbacks. We share the same locker. I can't do it anymore. Or like, hey, we're on the street. Joe Burrow just spent $250,000 renovating his own locker at the facility because the team wouldn't do it. That's what we're up against, people. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. More topics. This, like the NFL is in its offseason. They are in Indianapolis at a combine. And info just keeps kicking out to us, Kevin, because the one thing that we do enjoy is I was crying the other day saying, please, please, please don't have this voted on at the owners meeting coming up. And Troy Vincent used to play for the Eagles defensive back. Same thing with the Miami Dolphins. He is the vice president? I can't remember his exact title, but vice president in the NFL somewhere on like rules or whatever, right? So he's downplaying the fourth thing. He's like, we have to change up somehow the onside kick. But they don't like the rule of 4th and 12, 4th and 25. They don't think that it's correct, but they're looking for different ways to institute it because they're always getting input from the owners and, you know, the competition committee on what can be changed and what's not changing. But now it looks like, Kevin, you know, we always get this, right? Oh, look, that looks like it's close to a first down. And then you get this, like in the background. It's like, all right, is the mysteries coming out? Is this going to be a first down? Is he short? Is it a bad spot? What's actually going to take place? But now, Kevin, they're telling, don't worry about it. Electronically measured first downs so they can be spotted and placed and don't need the chain gang to be used anymore at this point. Any skepticism on that?
No. I get it's weird, but you would imagine, Donnie, it would improve accuracy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't know. Why am I missing something? Why should I be skeptical?
Here's what I don't understand about it, though. Because the people that just say, hey, man, it's a $1 trillion industry, whatever, put a chip in the football.
Okay.
The football is not the end-all be-all. Your knee can hit at the 39, and the football can be at the 41-yard line. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, or like the knee is not down and the balls, because there's ways that you can get around that. But now what they're saying is like, we're just going to use the Hawkeye technology, which means a lot more cameras in the building. So I took it as, oh, they're just going to have a guy like we are at home, because I say this sometimes outside of like direct holding penalties where you're like next to the guy. I think I can call a better game, Kevin, at home on my couch with a huge HD TV and say, I know what a penalty is and I know where that ball is spotted. How many times do you sit on your couch at home and go, wait a second, that ball is past the 40-yard line. Why is it at the 39? I have no idea why. Because the ref is trailing the play and doesn't get that horizontal view that we get on the screen. So it sounds like to me like somebody's just going to, which again, I don't mind. Like, hey, let me buzz down there. Hey, guys, I saw you spot at the 42. It's actually at the 41.5. Just move that back. Love that. You don't have to go to a delay of game and go under a hood. Yeah. Just make the change. But if we think as a football society that this is going to get rid of the quarterback sneak up the middle, like the Buffalo Bills got the first down, that that's going to change it, it's not. It's not going to. So the people I know looking at it, like, oh, finally, it's going to be, it's not going to be perfect any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you know, it's probably never going to be perfect. I will say I feel as if the shipping the ball thing is more end zone based for people in terms of their arguments. But I understand your point. You know, there are quarterback sneaks that happen at the 40, at the 30, or you know, wherever it may be. The thing is, like you mentioned, the Josh Allen play. And the reason why the Josh Allen play has stuck around so much is it felt like Donnie threw the replays. We all saw it was a first down.
Yeah.
So to me, like, I actually don't think this all needs to be that complicated, truly. Like, I don't think we should have, and I know you've said this, like, I don't ever need any ref on the field ever looking at a replay. This is most ridiculous. Every single time they go, hey, they challenged it, just let us know what it is. Like, again, like they put in this, like, the, what is the replay assist? Is that the?
Yes. Yep. And one of the greatest things they instituted.
Because, you know, call it 5 years ago, a ball would be caught over the middle. And then it's like, wait, do you think? And then the challenge flag would be out. And they'd show it on the, like, they would have already jumped to the point where you go, oh, look, he dropped it on the replay. It's like, well, now we got to, you know, hit commercial. And it's like, why are we wasting time? And I don't think you need the guys on the field involved in the decision whatsoever. Like, there are just things, this doesn't have to be hard. It reminds me a little bit of, like, when we first tried to figure out how to pay college athletes. And people always complicated it. And it's like, why are you complicated? This doesn't have to be complicated. We're like, well, if you want to pay the Georgia quarterback, what are you going to do about the captain of the softball team? Nothing is what I'm going to do nothing. Why are you talking about that?
That's
Yeah, again, so, you know, and that's the thing. People complicate stuff for no reason. Replay is something that I feel like we constantly complicate for no reason.
No, we do. And you're right about it. My major pet peeve in that is the $5 billion league sends a guy to an 8-inch tablet in the middle of the field where he probably can't hear or see anything, makes a ruling on a team that's going to end their season. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
By the way, we do have quarterback talk out here in the streets, and not just where Matthew Stafford's going to go and where Aaron Rodgers wants to go, Kevin. You might have heard some big news down in New Orleans with Kellen Moore, Super Bowl champion Kellen Moore. He's going with Derek Carr, which I saw Joe Lisi tweet out today, upsetting some people down there in the bayou at this point. And I look at it this way, saying, sometimes with an organization like the Saints, you're looking to get out from under like the cap situation. It's a bad one. And you can say to yourself, well, all right, if we trade or let's just say cut Derek Carr, that's like playing two quarterbacks at once and neither one of the quarterbacks is even playing for us here. I just think it's one of those where you do see the talent in Derek Carr. Kellen Moore's a first-time head coach and goes, hey, you know what? Worst case scenario, I'm going to get a quarterback that's been around the league and I think he can execute my offense. Well, that means 8 wins, 10 wins, a division championship. I don't know. And I don't have high hopes here per se for the Saints next year. But I don't look at that as like, you know what, Derek Carr is my guy. I just think it's simple. Like, we're in cap hell. We're trying to do everything we can to stay like out of it And if we cut Derek Carr, like, we double down on our cap situation. That's all. Simple more for me. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, again, I'm real tired of, like, every year pretending every NFL team could win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's really, it's ridiculous. Like, yes, every year you feel as if any team could make the postseason.
Yes.
But not every year anyone can win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC has had the same team for three straight years represented. What, 5 out of 7?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do we do? Come on. Like, let's be reasonable here. I don't know. So, yeah, stick with Derek Carr. Like, that's fine. Their fan base likes Rattler. Okay? So if this Derek Carr stuff isn't going well, just put Rattler in. Like, I don't, who cares? And that was kind of my thing with that job, where it's like, look, this isn't a great job, but that's why I felt as if whoever became coach, like, he should be looking for a very long contract. Because it's not likely going to go well. Or maybe it will go well, but it's not going to go amazing.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It's not. It isn't. So I don't have that big of an issue. And also, other news out there for the San Francisco 49ers opening up contract negotiations with Brock Purdy. And the reason that this is still a big topic is I take a look at other teams, and we, Kevin, always go back to the Giants, where you don't have to be a man in the room to understand the situation at hand for the Giants. When if all, you don't want to have hurt feelings, and I get that. And I don't want to even call it calling a representative's bluff, like let's just say the agent for Daniel Jones. Daniel, send me on the free agency. You shop around. I will match the single best deal you have. Just come back to me to make sure that that offer is there and you agreed to terms with that other team. We'll match it and you'll come back and be a New York Giant. Instead, Joe Shane was like, you know what? I'm not making any phone calls. And I to the bottom of my heart, I believe this. I don't think a single NFL team was going to make an offer on Daniel Jones, and they paid him $40 million. You see how it turns out? We were exactly correct. The Giants were exactly wrong. When I look at the Brock Purdy situation, 4-year contract, Kevin, $3.7 million. That was his contract with the San Francisco 49ers. This is the last year of the contract, which is only a couple hundred thousand. He's not playing under that. But for me, I actually would say, like, Brock, as a 49er, you know, ownership group, let's just say front office, you go out and shop yourself around. If you find a deal we can't match, we'll come up with compensation. We will trade you to that franchise and good luck and we'll move on. But if you go out there and say, you know what? I'm finding between $45 and $48 million is my number. You come right on back and we'll sign you in that deal. How does this play out for the 49ers? Or are they just with Giants saying like, we don't care about anybody else. We love this guy. $55, $60 million, reset the market. Like, how do they play this out?
Yeah, that is kind of the impossible thing. Is imagining he is going to reset the market. But it also just, you know, the funny thing is, man, the more we wait for this situation to play out, DRS, right? The Jaguars paying Trevor Lawrence, like, ultimately is, well, we drafted him first overall.
Yeah.
We won a playoff game. We're going to stick with Trevor, right? With Purdy, they made a Super Bowl. They've won a number of playoff games. But obviously the thought is, well, he has so much help around him. We've seen Jimmy get to the same level. He wasn't a first overall or second. You know, he was a Mr. Irrelevant, right? That's the whole thing with Brock Purdy. I think the Niners would be within their right to pay him $50 million. I've often said because I've seen the Niners win with multiple quarterbacks, but they've never paid a quarterback top of the market. And I don't know what happens then if that means they have to start sacrificing in other areas of their football team. Mm-hmm. Because that's been the story of the Niners for the last 5 years, is remove the quarterback, the rest of the roster is just out of this planet. It's always felt like that. And are those sacrifices going to start to happen now? If you're paying Brock Purdy as one of the 5, 6, 7 best quarterbacks in football, much less the best quarterback in football.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if they play this right, they're going to get their quarterback at the right price. If they play it like, we don't want to hear any outside noise, we always told him we'd make him the highest paid quarterback in football, well, then good luck with that in the future here, San Francisco 49ers. Now, as we move towards the draft, it's getting closer. They're at the combine working out, some players not working out. The best player in the draft, bar none, is Abdul Carter, defensive end for the Penn State Nittany Lions. I know you had some topics you wanted to talk about here with Abdul. Is it the injury? Is where he wants to go? Is love of the Eagles? Like, where are we going? Well,
Look, the Eagles bit of it is hilarious.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm losing my mind. So a report comes out late last night.
Mm-hmm.
Abdul Carter has a foot injury. He could have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have surgery. Or he could just kind of push through it. That way he can go to his pro day and like fight through it and nothing to worry about. And since then, they've kind of actually reported, we're not advising him to get surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And Abdul Carter has since tweeted out, this is just going to make the movie more interesting. See y'all March 28th. Bring your popcorn. I think I'm going to pass out. In what world does Abdul Carter even need a pro day?
Correct.
Micah Parsons didn't even play his final season. He was one of the COVID opt-outs. Yes. In what world is Abdul Carter? For what? What are we doing? It feels to me as if they put this out there and teams went, ugh. And then he went, no, we're fine. We can push through. Don't worry about it. Donnie, if you draft this kid and you go, oh, no, you know what? He should have had the surgery. And it's July, and now he doesn't start until week six because you waited so we could have his pro day.
Like, yeah.
Again, I tweeted this. What's the worst thing that happens to Abdul Carter? He does live his dream out and goes to the Eagles. I mean, truly, how far could he possibly fall down the board if he has this surgery? It's insane.
He was never going number one overall. He's not going to do that anyway. And you're right. It's like saying, I'm going to be, let's just say, a top five draft pick no matter where. I just don't know where I'm going, whether I work out or not. Because the theory behind me is, you know, I absolutely rail on Indianapolis, the whole combine thing. Because if my choice of saying, you know what, Abdul Carter is the best guy I've seen in this draft, and like, well, what pushed you over the edge? Saw him running a pair of shorts in the offseason. I said, you know what, that's my guy here. Not the game-wrecking situations that he puts offensive in all year long or his whole career at Penn State. It was, man, did you see him in that three-cone drill that he's practiced for 4 months? That put me over the edge. Like, nothing would do that to me. And I love the moxie, okay? I'm the number one kid. I think I should be number one overall, which I agree with. But instead of just saying, you know what? Like, NFL teams that are going to draft him, like, let's just say top five, make a call. Hey, you know what, kid? Get the surgery. Get it? We'll see you in OTAs. I'm going to draft you third no matter what. Just get the surgery so we don't have any complications.
But that's, first of all, you know, in his pick, he's like, oh, it's, you know, number one overall pick, 56 days. Like, I think it's on the board the Titans do take him. I know that kind of goes against some conventional stuff. What's the, I mean, the actual worst case scenario, he goes 10th to Dallas. Like, that's the first, like, is that that bad for him?
Yeah.
That he goes to a team that's like actually good?
By the way, I'm going to give a little Cleveland Browns tidbit after the break of what they're going to do in the offseason. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cleveland Browns. I told you, I was teasing a little bit right there. You know what I mean? You don't have to wait till...
Time decisions.
You can get that information right now on Moneyline. We don't have to wait all night long to get that. And here's what you do, Kevin, if you're the Cleveland Brown. You draft Abdul Carter, then you trade Myles Garrett. What do you think about that? Like, they can't do it before the draft because they don't know if they can get Abdul Carter. You draft Carter, and then you get two first-round picks and whatever you want for Myles Garrett and move on and resurface and replant that franchise.
Yeah, I think that they could draft Abdul Carter even if they don't trade Myles Garrett. They can trade Myles Garrett even if they don't bring in Abdul Carter, in my opinion. I think they are separate things. What I would say to what your point, though, is I don't agree that this team should be drafting a quarterback at number two. And that is the growing consensus now. Schefter put out a little bit of a clip the other day saying that he's very confident they will take quarterback because they have to. Again, I don't agree with that. I don't. Why do they have to? The Browns are bad. Their quarterback situation is a nightmare. Why do they need to shuffle in Cam Ward right away? I don't. I do not. We don't need to operate like this. We just don't. People go, but if you pass on Cam Ward, what are you going to? I don't care. I'll handle that next year. Am I ready to bring a quarterback into my franchise right now and feel like I'm setting him up for any type of success? No. Okay, then. Kirk Cousins
gotta
on the minimum.
Got to do it.
Nope. No, you just said Abdul Carter. Yes, Donnie.
You draft Abdul Carter. I see what you're saying for this year. Yes. Like, because it can't be one and one. Like, you have to make sure you have Abdul Carter before you trade Myles Garrett. Like, this plan doesn't work for me. It's like,
why?
Trade Myles Garrett. Oh, no, Abdul Carter's not there because you still need that stalwart on the defensive line that's going to dominate.
Donnie, they're bad. They don't need anything.
But, yes.
If you're trading Myles Abdul Garrett, Carter's you don't need young. Anything.
Yes. Abdul Carter's young. So, in 5 years, when they're really good or they plan to be, he's right in the middle of his prime. That's why you have to have the even trade off because then the next year, you have ammunition. Let's just say you have your first rounder and two more ones to get right. Arch Manning if you want him.
Sure.
Right?
No, that's great. Here's all I'm saying, Donnie. They should trade Myles Garrett because they are bad. He will command a lot in the market. He doesn't want to be there.
Yes. Restart.
And then and that's it. And that's the end of it. And when they're on the clock at two, who's ever there was what we're going to do. And, hey, Abdul Carter's number one on our board. Well, he happened to go first overall. Mm. That's fine. We're bad anyway. So we'll look for an edge rusher next year or in 2 years. Or we'll hope we hit on a guy late. The idea that they need to trade Myles Garrett only if they draft Abdul Carter, I think is wrong.
It's the perfect getaway. You get him this year, trade Myles Garrett. Next year, you hunt for your quarterback, but you have your defensive end for the next decade, which you don't have right now, Myles Garrett. And he makes a ton of money. I think it makes too much sense for them to do that, which is probably why they won't do it. That's the way I see it.
Look, I am totally fine. I'm not telling you that's a bad plan. What I'm telling you is me trading Myles Garrett is not contingent on if I have Abdul Carter.
It's perfect handoff. You can't have Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett. Doesn't make sense.
Why would that not make sense?
You get one or the other. Because you're not going to win next year. Why are you wasting it? You trade him. You have to make sure you get Abdul Carter in the draft, though. That's the key.
Why you got to keep him around. See, to me, they are separate things. They are separate. For me, I would, if I were the Browns, Donnie, I would trade Myles Garrett no matter what. And if I were them, and I'm drafting it too, I would draft Abdul Carter no matter what.
Mm. How about we shift gears? You ready to shift gears right now?
Sure. I have another drafting for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have another drafting for background. You. That's good.
These guys are from Queens. Mm-hmm. These guys are from Queens right here. Go ahead.
The Travis Hunter stuff is going to start to drive me a little crazy. And I actually hope that he puts his foot down in a way that's going to make everybody very annoyed at him. When he got to college,
100% of the time.
Yes, Donnie. When he got to college, they're like, absolutely not. They're like, well, you know what? Fine, you do it at HBCU level, but he'd never do that at a power level. Mm-hmm. Okay, then he gets to Colorado. He does it at a power level. Like, yeah, but Colorado's bad. Like, they don't win any games. Then he won the Heisman Trophy, and everyone's like, all right, listen, doing that against USC and Utah isn't doing it. Let him do it, and if it is failing, then you work backwards. I don't know why everybody wants to start at the floor and then hope he can hit the level. Travis Hunter has been defying the odds the entire time by what he's doing. It is absolutely chaos to me, as we all know the Travis Hunter comparison. It's Ohtani, and Ohtani is the most valuable player in Major League Baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. Year in, year out, that is largely how we view Shohei Ohtani. We get an NFL version of that, and people are falling over themselves to let you know he's not really going to play wide receiver. Why? The New England Patriots, if they draft this kid, should absolutely let him do whatever he wants.
Not full-time.
It's crazy.
He can't go full-time in the NFL. It won't work.
Why? Why?
Too many games, Donnie, too physical.
Hold on. But Donnie, let it not. What's the downside if he does it the first 6 weeks and it doesn't work?
He blows his leg off.
No, stop.
See it. Out for the year. Yep.
No, come on. Takes
three concussions already. Can't do it. If you want him, here's how I would actually ridiculous. Play Travis Hunter. He would be a full-time cornerback. And when we go to our up-tempo passing game, he comes in. 10, maybe 15 snaps a game. I'm okay with that. He can't go both ways, both sides. You just don't have the energy to do that in the NFL. It's too big, too strong.
Nobody has the energy to do it in college. Flatly.
Yeah, but you can get away with it. You can half-ass some plays in college because you can. It's college. You're not playing against grown men. 17, 18, 19, 20. You can't half-ass 25-year-old pro bowlers. They will kill you out there.
Let them. Let them.
No, you can't let them.
No, let's find out, Donnie. Let's find out if he can't do it before we snap
three games.
But again, this same exact thought process people would have applied to Ohtani. Like, just let him hit. No reason for him to come over here pitching.
Yeah, but and then they let him do 5 days. He's pitching though. He ain't pitching every day. Like, can you imagine him playing? I don't.
You play an NFL game once a week. It's even less.
Nah.
Makes my argument.
Can't do it. Perfect. You know what? Just punt returner for that kid. He can't even handle going cornerback or wideout. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quickly from college basketball yesterday, Kentucky on the road, Kevin, 83-82 over Oklahoma. Other big games, which I had Michigan State +3.5. They won by 3 points because they hit a half-court shot buzzer beater in an ugly game, 58-55. Auburn scored 50 in the first half and 56 in the second half. And now your player of the year looks like it's probably going to be Broome, Kevin. What do you think about that? Passing Cooper Flagg now?
Yeah, I think it's a little odd.
Over? Yeah.
I don't, you know, it was Broome's award, and then he suffered the injury.
Yep.
And that drastically moved the market. And I feel as if that fact is odd to look past, Don. Now, right now, there's a two-game gap between the two. It's not that Jahni Broome has been out, you know, for an entire season.
Yeah.
But the Broome, like, what is it that's causing Broome to surge? It's not as if Cooper Flagg isn't out there putting up excellent numbers. Here's the problem is Cooper Flagg, you know, maybe was playing more minutes on a regular basis because Duke was in, you know, a tick more competitive basketball. I mean, Broome's at 29 minutes a game. Cooper Flagg right now is at 31.3. So maybe that gap is being closed a little bit on the season.
Yeah. But here,
it's just the SEC.
It's extracurriculars. That's always like, you know, I talk about we always have the MVP conversation of football. Well, what is it? Well, my team has the best record in football. We're going to be the number one seed. Like that all factors in. And it's the same thing with Auburn. Best conference in the conference or best conference in the United States. Best team in that conference. Best player on that team who's playing well. That usually is what happens here. Now, Auburn still has, you know, a decent little schedule, as it turns out, left in the season. Kentucky, A&M and Alabama, but that should also bolster it. Like they go 2-1 and he plays well, and he's going to be. That's this way. Nothing against Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg has done nothing wrong, but you're just looking at a season for Auburn that's like, man, they are wrecking everybody. But by the way, Kev, dipped down yesterday. And if you look at the card today, the casual sports bettor or fan will be like, man, it stinks tonight. I barely recognize any. These are the days that we love in college basketball. Because yesterday, me getting the updates from High Point yesterday, putting on a show, Lipscomb putting on a show. And then I was like, you know what? I think BYU is a pretty good matchup at night with Arizona State. They'll score a lot of points. And I go, ooh, I fell in love with Arizona State's team total. And it hit. Like yesterday was so much fun to sit back and watch. And I'll tell you where I got saved. I actually liked Villanova yesterday against Seton Hall. Not spread-wise, but I thought they would be able to hit their team total. The only reason why I didn't bet it, I can't bet it in New Jersey. And it did save me some money.
Yeah, that's always tricky. I'm just now looking, because you got me looking here, Donnie. You said if Broome goes 2-1, he's going to end up winning player of the year, right?
Yeah, with him playing, obviously, you know, quality.
No, yeah. Here's my thing. You would expect him to go 2-1 in these final three games, right? When you consider the like if Auburn goes 3-0, like that's pretty crazy. When you at Kentucky, at A&M, hosting Bama.
Okay, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Duke, on the other hand, Donnie, would be pretty surprising if they didn't go 3-0.
Mm-hmm. They should.
You would say.
Yeah.
So my thing is, and I'm not saying it's valid, but Auburn's going to lose a game and then Duke mm-hmm. won't, and then Duke's probably going to jump to the number one team in the country because that's how AP works.
Yeah, but I just think the ACC, like if it was a normal ACC, like Flag probably would still be the favorite. But even though I like Louisville, solid team, I like Clemson, solid team, you just don't have that every single night you have to be on your game, and Auburn is proving that they're worth it. And you might even say, like, well, if that really matters, like if it's football, tell me about that Duke-Auburn game early in the season. Oh, look at that. So, Duke won that. So they should get he should get the bump. But it just doesn't work like that in basketball. Too many games.
Yeah, so I want to try and make this clear. I am not saying I'd vote Flag. I have no bet on it. I likely mm-hmm. won't end up with one.
Yeah.
But Cooper does have the head-to-head victory, which, you know, if it got down to it, for some could matter. My only thing is, it is far more likely that Auburn loses two more games when you consider their conference tournament, right? Then Duke Donnie maybe even loses again. Just from an odds perspective.
I want to say the regular season ends the MVP race, right?
Oh, I don't know. I could be. I didn't look into it. Would count.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say the end of the regular season. Now, I'm just extrapolating because I don't think we've ever. I don't know if we've ever like had something. Hey, you got to wait till the end of it. I always thought it was usually just the regular season, which I could be wrong, but that could be big too because you're right. Hey, they lose two out of three games, get bounced round one against Georgia in the SEC tournament, and Duke rolls all the way through and blisters Clemson and, you know, whoever else could make a difference. JP behind the wheels of steel down on the right side and Kevin Walsh. Moneyline on the Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow on the solo mission on Friday. Thanks for tuning in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.